Hey, it's Kim Commando Today, your daily podcast to keep you up to date with all things digital and beyond. And I'd love to have you be a part of our podcast. You can make an appointment to speak with me. Just head over to commando.com, and on the top right, there's a button that says email Kim. Fill that out, and that's it.
We're one step closer, Allie.
To what?
One step closer to banning TikTok.
We just talked about it. It's already happening.
Unanimous vote. Unanimous. All 50 members of the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House voted to push forward the House resolution to what, can't say ban TikTok. That's not what it is. It's Chinese diverse bill. They want the divest.
Gotcha.
They want the Chinese to divest themselves from any digital app that's on the internet, and 50 for 50. Now, they said some interesting things during the hearing. First of all, they said they don't want to ban TikTok. They really don't. They know Americans, as someone said.
I'm currently TikToking.
And they're all on it.
Yeah.
They know that Americans love to watch their dancing videos, as one out of touch member of Congress said.
I don't think it's been dancing videos.
Years. Has not been dancing videos for years.
Yeah.
They said they know people enjoy it. They know people promote their business on there. They know people make money off of TikTok. But back in the 90s, and this is a quote, back in the 90s, some guy in China said that China will not use their military to take down the U.S. They will use something else. And basically alluding to the fact TikTok is what they're going to use.
Oh, that man in the 90s who invented TikTok.
One guy in China
sure.
In the 90s.
Sure.
Now, they also know that people are upset and people are contacting them on record numbers.
Oh my gosh. Well, part of it is because TikTok had a push notification that said, contact your legislators. Apparently, they've been getting a lot of calls from high schoolers who are asking what a congressman is, which is so funny and feels like a joke. It's not a joke.
When you go on TikTok, a screen would pop up and say, save TikTok or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just put in your zip code and it tells you the phone number right there on TikTok who to call.
Did you call?
I didn't. I don't care.
As we've discussed, if it went away, you'd be okay.
Yeah, it'd be fine. I like using it, but it's not the end all be all. And I really don't know the security threats that are posed by TikTok. So I don't know if it's real or not. I'm going to go ahead and trust the members of Congress. That's a mistake. So it's going to be pushed to the big Congress. They'll vote on it, then to the Senate, and then it could go to the president. If you aren't aware of this story, if it does pass, and Apple continues to allow people to download, or Google, the fine is $750 billion a day, and I'm not joking. But we'll keep following this and see where it goes, see what changes they make. They obviously can change the bill once it gets to the House.
Right.
But we are one step closer to TikTok being banned. Forever. This is Kim Commando Today. I'm Andrew Babinski. This is Allie Seligman. I feel so confident saying that.
I know. It's one week. Yeah, we needed a week and you got it. You're good. You never pause now.
No, it just has to become habit. And
beautiful.
We did it. And then on Monday, it won't matter because Kim Commando will be back from Japan. Oh, no, we're doing a couple more shows next week. That's right.
Okay. And then you'll say my name a few more times and then you'll forget.
Totally forget.
And then when this happens again in a few months,
I'll be right back to where I started. We're the A-Team. Kim is in Japan taking a much deserved work vacation. Unfortunately, I still hear that she's working while she's there.
I think she was pretty good yesterday. I think
That's
she worked
good.
A lot. Yeah. She was going to do some stuff on a train because what else are you going to do on a train?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you look and you see things zoom by for a little bit.
Yeah.
That gets old. I understand that.
Yeah.
But we she'll come back and she'll do Kim Commando Today. We do this every single day. That's why it's called Kim Commando Today. It's not called Kim Commando Yesterday or Kim Commando Every Other Tuesday. It's Kim Commando Today. We stream live on the internet on Facebook, YouTube, X, Rumble, 10:30 on the West Coast, 1:30 on the East Coast. Now, this is a question I have. The time's going to change.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that going to affect us at all?
We haven't gotten that far. This happens this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to figure it out.
Okay.
And we'll report back.
All right. Let me know maybe 5 or 10 minutes before the show starts.
And here's the weird part. If everyone's like, okay, what's up, you two idiots? Like, figure it out. Well, we don't change times
Arizona
in Arizona.
Arizona doesn't change.
Arizona and Hawaii were the states that don't do it.
This affects me greatly as a sports fan.
Oh, I bet.
Because all my games for half the year start early, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're not going to start this game until after you've been asleep for an hour. if you could, please leave us a comment If you have a decision on what we should do with the time change, just go ahead and drop it in the comments.
Plan it for us, please. We don't know what we're doing.
First person to comment, that's what we'll do.
Midnight, every night.
Maddie is upstairs. She's collecting comments, and we will read some at the end of the show. It's a lot of fun. We had some great comments. We're actually going to respond to one of the questions we got in the comments yesterday.
Amazing.
Later in the show. We found out information, delivering it directly to you.
This is like when we talked about quantum computers.
Yes. Oh, the in-depth analysis we had into quantum computing. Oh, yeah. It's going to be as deep as that.
Sure.
We have five things?
We do. Number one that you need to know. We just talked about Reddit and mm-hmm. how they are going to be doing their initial public offering, aka buy Reddit stock. Maybe you'll make some money. That is not financial advice. That's what they are saying.
Nice disclaimer.
Yeah. Yeah. They just announced, because of course, they're trying to make this thing as profitable as possible because they want the stock to be as, you know, as expensive as possible.
Right.
So they just announced a whole new set of tools for businesses to see what's trending, where your business is mentioned, when it's mentioned, good places maybe that you could go in and talk about your business. Okay. I'm sure marketers are excited. Right. Everyone else who uses Reddit is like, oh, good.
More commercials are coming.
More commercials are coming to Reddit. So get ready for Reddit to be full of, commercials.
Well, what did you say yesterday? They lost like 90 billion last year.
600 million. I think it was 90 million, which is not great.
No, but it was an improvement.
They were
celebrating.
Yes, it was a big improvement.
We did it.
Number two, Redfin. You might know it as not Zillow. So
yeah.
They just released something because they want us to talk about them and not Zillow, right? So they have a new Ask Redfin bot that essentially you can open up a house listing and ask questions like, what's the school district? How much do homes in this neighborhood sell for? Are there HOA fees? What would you actually want to be able to ask about a house?
That's interesting. Are the neighbors dorks?
Exactly. Yeah. Am I going to actually need a new roof in
right.
like 2 years? And the inspector didn't notice.
How old are the windows? Is that gas that's between the windows popped and they really stink now?
Yeah. At this point, you can just ask like basic stuff.
Of course. Yeah. And it's also a chatbot, so it's probably going to lie to you.
Yes.
This house is in the number one school district in the world.
Oh, man. Good point. So maybe don't trust it with your home buying decision. Yes. It's not everywhere. It's in select cities. You'll see it if you look for a house
up.
Near you. Yes. Number three, Chevy is selling its really glitchy electric Blazer again.
Is that how they market it?
Well,
the new really glitchy Chevy Blazer.
No, but it came out in December and almost immediately they had to stop selling them because problems were so bad with them. So the infotainment screen would just completely blank out.
You don't need that.
People couldn't charge them. You do need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be able to charge an electric car. It's not like there's two huge 9 volts above the tires.
Just put it on your tongue and see if it, yeah. Edmunds, which is, you know, a big car site.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the most damning examples. They said the Blazer went from perfectly fine to totally on the fritz after one trip from Los Angeles to San Diego.
Well, that's a long way. I mean, that's almost 2 hours. You're expecting your car to last more than 2 hours.
So this was December. Things were bad. They stopped selling it. Essentially told people who had it, we're going to fix it. And they just rolled out a new software update that should fix the problems.
Can't guarantee it.
Yeah, you can't guarantee. And totally unrelated, they are cutting the price to $6,000.
Totally unrelated.
Totally unrelated. No, they had all this bad press, and now they want people to buy these.
Right.
The most affordable model, if you add in the tax credit, it used to be $5,600 and now $4,200.
That's the total price for the car?
Total price, $4,200 for a Blazer EV.
$4,200? No.
$4,200.
Thousand. Okay.
American
I was about
dollars.
To go by two.
One for later.
Yeah.
One for when the first one breaks. I wouldn't buy one of those.
No. Right now. This doesn't even look like a Chevy Blazer. I drove the original Blazer. Mm-hmm. These new Blazers, I mean, they're fine. If you have one, they're fine. If you have a minivan, it's fine, but I'm never buying one. I just don't like the look of it.
Yeah, they're not great. Russian hackers stole Microsoft code.
Uh-oh.
They said earlier this year, okay, Russian state-sponsored hackers, they're spying on our email. Okay, some of the senior leadership team, gross. And now they have said, yes, this is the same people that did the SolarWinds attack. So this is a big hacker outfit, right?
Yeah.
So they stole some of the source code. Microsoft says, like, this is an ongoing attack. We have not been able to stop this yet. Let us not forget, a lot of government agencies use Microsoft.
Why? Why wouldn't they develop their own software company?
Well, think about that.
Okay.
Do things that...
Hold on. I'm thinking. Okay, I've thought about it.
And?
Well, it's probably not going to work and be too expensive. But...
Well, yeah, they're going to rely on a technology partner. Microsoft is one of the biggest ones.
But they should have Microsoft government. That's only
available. They do. I kid you not. Office 365 government.
Okay.
Is a thing.
Oh, well, then my idea is out the door, because if you can still hack it, that's only available to the government.
Well, and that's the government one. If the Microsoft top team is getting hacked,
yeah,
don't you think anything that they have is susceptible?
Everything on the internet's getting hacked. And is it me, or is it like airplane disasters and hacking is just at an all-time high right now?
That's true.
It's like every other day.
Let's not fly.
Roofs are falling off of planes.
Yeah.
And large companies are getting hacked. It's every single day.
The hacking, I can't do anything for you, but I'm not going to fly for a little while.
No? I'll just bring a bungee cord. Strap that roof back on. We'll be fine.
And number five, think twice before you email your doctor.
Okay.
We wrote about this in the current newsletter, go to getkim.com, months ago, right? That doctors are starting to charge if you email them through that, you know, you probably have a portal with your doctor where you can send a message, whatever. This is back in the news. Wall Street Journal just wrote about it, because more healthcare groups, yes, are charging. How much do you think is reasonable? No, let's not ask it like that. How much
$600 million.
How much do you think on average people are paying for an email from their doctor?
On average, I don't know, $80.
Not too bad, $25. So you wouldn't be that mad.
No.
Pay $25.
But I also, first of all, I'm a man. Kay. So I go to the doctor once
you will
a year.
Not be reaching out to your doctor.
Right. I could, my arm could be laying in the front yard and be like, I'm fine. It'll
I'll
heal.
Get to urgent care.
Walk it off. But I do use those apps where you meet with a doctor for 2.2 seconds and whatever you say, they just take on face value. If you're like, I need a bucket of painkillers.
Massive infection. Sure you do.
Okay. They type it up. Send. They don't even make eye contact through the camera. And those cost about $80 per
visit?
Occurrence. So okay. That's why, I mean, it's pretty much the same
thing.
Wow, those
are $80. It must depend on your insurance. We can do those for free.
Yeah, I actually got it for free too. It said it when I signed up.
Oh, I see.
But if you don't have any insurance,
oh, got it. Okay.
That's going to cost you about $80.
Okay. Medicare reimburses about $15 for messages that take 5 to 10 minutes, $30 for 11 to 20, and $50 for anything that takes over 20 minutes. Imagine having to...
Are they putting a timer on once they start the email?
I think being a doctor now is a lot of administrative work.
To whom it may concern.
Yes. Ching. Also, though, doctors are using AI now, which can kind of read the message, generate a response. It's like we talked about with teachers. So I wonder if this... it's not going to cut down.
That's a one-minute phone call. I'm only paying you $2. And you're going to like it.
$2. There we go. We're caught up on the tech news.
I want my $2. Did you get that movie reference?
No.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
I thought with Kim not here, I could throw more out there.
What is it?
It's Better Off Dead. Anna. Welcome back to Kim Komando Today. Andrew Babinski, Ali Seligman in for Kim Komando. I mean, I'm always here, but, you know, I'm usually the responder. I don't get to start the segments. That's not my job.
Well, look at this.
Yeah, but in the business, we call that a second mic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you're right now, you're the second mic.
Second mic.
Now, by the business, I mean the industry. And Kim is the lead mic, or the first mic. And she does all the things. Like, she'll say, Ali, tell us about the newsletter.
I would love to. Go to getkim.com. It's called The Current. Every day, lands in your inbox, even weekends. 5 minutes or so to read it. You get caught up on the tech news. Lots of stuff that we can't necessarily do here on the podcast, because I'm not going to tell you how to change your iPhone settings or something.
Right.
That's simply too boring. It's a good newsletter. Lots of puns if you're a punster.
Meme of the day.
There's a meme of the day. They'll make you laugh. I play a little game with myself. Like, can I write a joke in this newsletter that will make me laugh out loud?
And how often are you successful?
Oh, once a week.
Oh, that's good. It's not bad.
Hey.
So how much does this cost? It's got to be, $50, $60 a day?
It's absolutely free.
Wow, that's cheap.
Amazing.
Now, at no point in my entire life, I've ever wanted to be a police officer or a firefighter in the military.
You were never a little kid who wanted to be a firefighter?
No,
okay.
I am not a first responder. If anything, I'm like a third or fourth responder. But that's not the case with our next guest. Jonah Mendez joins us, and she is the former, this is a title right here.
Give it to me.
The former chief of disguise for the CIA.
It's the coolest title I could imagine.
Chief of disguise.
So cool.
I don't even know how you get that job.
Well, we're about to find out.
We are. And she joins us here on Kim Komando today. Thank you so much for being here.
Happy to be here.
So let's start at the beginning. How does one get a job at the CIA?
It depends on who you are and where you are and what you want. You can do what I did and kind of back into it.
Okay.
From the side door, which was the way I approached it. It worked out just fine.
All right. Yeah, it sounds like it. A 20-year CIA career, and then you become the chief of disguise.
20,
I did not want to discount. I apologize. I'm sure there's snipers on me right now.
Those last three were rough. I want to get them in.
We have to count them.
So the chief of disguise, what is this position?
Yeah, what was the path to that?
It was a long and rocky path. Chief of disguise is being in charge of a group of people, a worldwide staff, fairly decent budget, trying to protect American CIA case officers around the world and a lot of the foreign assets, we call them, who were working with us. Foreigners from different countries who were basically providing information that that America wanted to see.
My
job was to help our people keep them safe.
How important, though, is it? I mean, I'm sure not every single person that works at the CIA is going out with a disguise. So at what level or importance did someone need to be that they needed to be in disguise? I did a little research, and you guys went to some pretty crazy levels to mask and disguise these people.
We were everywhere. You didn't really need a disguise in Canada.
Okay.
You did not need one in the UK. But if you were in Russia, or maybe Havana, certainly in China, you probably, the work you were doing, the people you were meeting with and what you were asking them to provide would have been maybe a shooting offense. If you were the Russian or the Chinese person, it would be breaking their laws. And so we did it in disguise, protect everyone.
Now, you mentioned that there was a pretty big budget. At what financial lengths would the CIA go? Like, what would be the cost to get someone in a disguise?
It's an impossible question for me to answer right now.
Because
It was everything from simple stuff like wigs and mustaches.
Right.
To very, very sophisticated things like masks that we would make. We worked with makeup people in Hollywood. We worked with magic builders in L.A., learning their tricks, their tools, and then applying them to our scenarios.
Wow, that was cool. So you got to like learn along the way. Oh, did you have a favorite disguise that you did over the years? I'm sure you get asked that all the time.
The one I liked a lot and the one I can talk about is a disguise I wore to the Oval Office briefing one of our presidents. That was the result of about a 10-year development program to come up with a mask that you could be face-to-face, like sitting in the room with you two instead of sitting here remotely, having a conversation, and you would not know that I was wearing a mask.
And in the now correct me if I'm wrong, but in the meeting with the president, you like did Mission Impossible style, pulled off the mask and revealed that you were in disguise.
And that's up on your screen right now. I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm holding up. Looks like I'm holding up my secondary head. I was. I looked very much like I was kind of Latino when I wore this mask. In True Face, I'm blonde and blue-eyed, but this is kind of with the other direction.
True Face, we just learned a term.
We did, True Face.
Cool.
I'm going to start using that. It'll be out of contest and won't make any sense, but I'm going to start using that.
True Face at CIA, True Face means, without any embellishments, that's the real you, is True Face. That's what people looked like when they walked into our disguise labs. And when they walked out, True Face was gone, and we gave them a new one.
Did people end up in lots of different, so say I'm, I don't know, on a case, am I going to be in a lot of different disguises, or are you always trying to disguise me as the same kind of thing, or I'm sure it depends?
You would usually come to see us if you had a particular thing going on that you had a particular need for a disguise, and we'd figure out what it was that would work. In some places, it could be a mask. In a lot of places, it wasn't a mask at all. A lot of places, you can just, with clothing and hair and makeup and whatever, you can look like a local in the city or in the country that you're in. So it didn't always have to be extravagant. It didn't always have to be that sophisticated. It just had to do a dramatic change. There was one chief of station. It was one of my favorite cases. He walked into my labs back at headquarters in Langley, and he was bald. He was a very nice looking man. He was totally bald. Some people look wonderful bald. Some people don't. He looked hello.
You look great, Baldin.
She laughed, I don't know if she's qualifying me as one of those people that look wonderful.
You wear it very well.
Thank you.
But what we did to him, and we could do it to you, is we made him just fabulous toupee. It was handmade. It was human hair. It was exactly tailored to him. And what he did when he went overseas is he wore it every day. They didn't know him without his toupee. His disguise was just not to put something on, but was to take something off.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
So he would take that off. He'd put on these kind of gray tinted glasses. It was a whole outfit he put on. He had a gold chain. This is when men wearing gold chains, it was not a good look. He put on a little too much cologne. He'd take off his wedding ring. These are all, if you're a woman sitting next to him in a bar, you would just get up and leave. vacate. That was the person that he was when he was in disguise.
This was the real creep disguise.
Kind of, but it worked great. He was no longer that American guy from that place.
That's amazing.
Looked more like a German tourist.
I have to ask, for every bald man who just thought, I would like one of these suited to my head toupees, how much is that going to run you?
Well, I could put a price on that toupee. It was about $8,000.
That's not too bad.
It probably bought him about $50,000 worth of protection doing that.
Okay.
Now, and it's not just appearance too, right? Like, it's tendencies. I remember the movie Inglourious Bastards. And there's
such a great scene.
Yeah. So they're trying to infiltrate the Germans, and they're trying to be one of them, and they're at a bar. And at the end of the conversation, he holds up three fingers, but he does it the wrong way to order three beers. Yeah. Exactly. And then, all Hades breaks loose.
And then a gun came out, and the worst killing scene you ever saw.
Absolutely. But if he was in disguise and properly trained by, obviously, the chief of disguise, he would have known the tendencies are also part of that as well, right?
That's true. He was in a fake uniform. He was pretending to be something he wasn't, but they forgot to tell him about the small things, like how you smoke a cigarette, how you light a cigarette, how you hold up fingers for three beers. Yeah.
So is that part of the training as well, to say, okay, you're going to be in this part of the world?
If I had been there when I saw that film, I would have put it into one of our training films.
Okay.
Don't do this. Would be the moniker underneath it.
Now, you have a new book, right?
I do.
Can you tell us about it?
It's called In True Face. It's talking about coming into the CIA as a secretary, walking out the door at the end of 23 years as the chief of disguise. It started out all about me. I wrote it during COVID. Kind of got bigger. It's a little bit about women in the CIA, which has had issues with women over the years, the way they hire them, the way they promote them or don't promote them, the way they treat them. It's a little bit of a making a face at the CIA. things are improving, but things have not improved enough. So I thought, it's time to call it out.
So, well, yeah, as a woman who was in leadership there, you're the one to do it, right?
Well, I was when I was there, but I'm no longer there. And I talk to people and it's still going on. And, so I'm making a little noise from the side, as it were. I'm not in the thick of it anymore. But
right.
It doesn't mean you have to keep quiet.
What would it take to be a CIA agent? Like, what is the personality trait for someone who's maybe watching and I would love to be in the CIA. What do you have to have to be in this line of work?
Well, there's 1,000 jobs, and not all of them are Bond.
We're talking about the cool ones.
Okay, to be the cool one, to be a case officer, for instance.
Yes.
You can't be older than 32 when you apply.
Okay.
You can't have worked at the Peace Corps. You can't be a journalist, and you can't be in the clergy, because we won't hire you.
Okay, no, we're out.
That's, those categories are off limits.
I was a Peace Corps priest. I'm totally out.
Well, you are screwed because you get with the CIA.
You're screwed.
What they are looking for case officers, they're looking for something we can't teach. They're looking for those people you meet in your life who are so gregarious, who are just, they have a kind of a magnetic personality. You meet them, you want to have a drink with them, you want to be their friend, you want to be their best friend, sort of. There are people like that in the world, and we want to hire them. That's one criteria, because their job is going to be to go out in the world and find the people we're looking for, people who are in particular positions in particular places, who know about this nuclear program, who know about what's going on with that submarine being built or that space program. Their job is to go out and find the people with the information and befriend them. So that's their job. But we also would like very much to see languages. Mm. We'd like to see people who have done extensive travel, who know their way around the world, people that can handle themselves. We can teach most of that. We can teach the languages, and we do area familiarization, how to proceed, how to do the work. But it's that personality piece of it that is so hard to find. We're looking kind of for the president of the class. It doesn't have to have been the president, but that kind of a person for that particular job. Now, if you want to be an analyst, it's a whole different list.
Right.
Right.
I worked in a larger office that was the Q. We were the technical support arm of the CIA, actually of the whole intelligence community. And it was your technical skills that we were after, your ability to work within an organization, but push the technology forward, no matter what it was. Because a lot of the things we needed were not commercially available. We had to build them. We had to invent them. So if you watch the James Bond movies, and I've seen them all, and I kind of cringe. The older I get, the more I cringe at some of his movies. But, you know, the toys that he's always pulling out, they're huge exaggerations. But the type of thing that they're talking about is the type of thing we were trying to provide to the community, intelligence community.
Did you ever get inspiration from movies or things you saw, like, oh, we could do that on a case?
I did that, but in my office, we had weekend duty officers. Saturday morning, you had to go in. Somebody had to go in. It was often me. Go in and vet the calls and see what's coming in. And people would have watched Thursday night, like Mission Impossible, a whole series of spy theme shows back then. And they'd say, you know, I watched it on Thursday. And they had this thing. They had a microphone and a shoe. And I'm thinking, oh, God, we did that 20 years ago. And they're saying, but they had this other thing and this thing. Can we do that? And my job or whoever was answering the phone that day would be probably to say no. But every once in a while, we had some good ideas come in, and we didn't. Well, it was life imitating art.
The disguises was definitely a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. I have your email that I got from Maddie, so expect one so I can order that wig. Because a full head of hair, I think, is just going to be a dream. And $8,000, that's not a bad price.
I would love to work with you.
That was, I don't know if I like that tone. I think I'm a little scared now.
She's gotcha. No.
Thank you so much for joining the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's fun to talk. Thank you.
We can't be CIA agents.
Too old.
Too old. Too old, but we are gregarious.
Yeah.
Hey.
I think that's a good thing to be.
I do too.
Okay. And we're both that.
Oh, that's a new word for you.
I'm going to get a wig. Welcome back to Kim Komando Today, the A-Team filling in for Kim as she's in Japan. We do this every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 10:30 on the West Coast. I say it that way. I like the way I like the way that flows. 10:30 on the West Coast, 1:30 on the East Coast. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, X, and we're taking your comments. We're going to read some in the next segment, actually. But one from yesterday, Mary Jones.
Yes.
She asked us about two apps and if they were good for children.
She did. I had never heard of them.
Neither had I. And yeah. I have kids. I have a 9-year-old and a 46-year-old who's actually 6. And they had never, because they always ask for apps, especially based on ads. Like they see an ad and they want that app immediately. Got to have it now. And then they'll download it, they'll play it for 2 seconds, see another ad, and have to have that one.
Love it. Impulse shopping.
I'd never heard of these two. We'll start with Flyf, F-L-Y-F, or I believe it's short for Fly for Fun.
Fly for Fun. Okay.
It's basically an anime game. There's some fighting in there, but I went to a website called Common Sense Media. Are you familiar?
I am.
And basically, you can search anything in there. Anything media, anything games, apps, tech, and parents review it, the sites review it, and kids review it, and give a rating based on what they think. Common Sense Media says this game is good for 12 plus.
Okay.
So a little older.
But it's a legitimate game. This is not like spyware. This is not a bad app to put on your phone. It's just a game.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, you are going to have purchases inside the app, but every app has that. Yeah. So that's something you need to look out for as a parent. There is a little bit of chat. So, you know, you may want to watch your children or disable any chat in any apps, especially Roblox or apps like that, where they mix social media and games.
Yeah.
But it got 3 out of 5 stars from parents, and that's pretty good. If that was a movie for my kids in that age range, it would be something I would let them watch.
Okay.
The other one's Wiz.
Uh-oh. Wiz. I can tell things are not good for Wiz.
Wiz is bad. I don't know how Wiz got 2 out of 5 stars after reading all the reviews on Common Sense Media.
Tell
First
us about
of all,
Wiz.
16 plus is the age range. That's almost an adult.
Yes.
And the reason being is not just one, not just two, multiple parents said that this is a social media app for some reason connects adults with children.
Whoa.
For chat.
Okay. We're going to say no on this one.
In the main description for Wiz, W-I-Z-Z,
okay.
It said buggy chat. And the reason why it's buggy is because it has adults talking to kids.
That's not a bug. Mm-mm. That's a whole okay.
problem.
Yeah.
Multiple reviews of parents saying their child was on this app within minutes and they were getting asked for conversations with sexual content or nude photos.
Well, that's horrific. Okay.
And it's not just one. You know, yeah. Obviously, if you see one where one parent says, well, that's an awful thing. Time and time and time and time again. Again, I do not know how it got 2 stars. I don't know if the Wiz app is sending all their people over there to try and change the trend, but there's no way on God's green earth I would even let my 16-year-old go on this app and use it.
No.
Stay away from Wiz, and it's backed up by all the users on Common Sense Media.
Okay. I'm going to put that in the newsletter.
Are
good.
You?
Good warning.
To stay away from Wiz?
Don't Wiz.
Now, are we on any... that's good. Are we on any legal liability here that we say Wiz is bad because of these reasons? And they can come after us? Because I'm just going based on reviews of users.
Well, there you go. We base it on these reviews of users. We base it on the things that real parents, that we are taking in good faith, that these parents are posting on a site. I suppose if there was some huge campaign to take down Wiz, then we fell for it. But I think I would rather fall on the side of let's protect kids than protect a company.
And like I said, it wasn't one single post. Time and time again. So that is the answer to the comment. Fly for Fun or Flyf seems to be okay. Seems like it's a game. There's a little bit of violence, but stay away from Wiz. Welcome back to Kim Komando. Today, we're doing a streaming podcast right now, but it's not just a streaming podcast. We use the latest technology to extract the audio from this video feed. Then we run it through about 64 different processing. And then we put it up on the internet, on wherever you get podcasts, as the Kim Komando Today audio podcast. So if you missed the show, don't worry. You can download it and listen wherever you are, whenever you want.
We have comments.
Yay!
Some of our friends. Breaktime 101. If you continue to do the... Okay, so we did get some daylight saving stuff. If you continue to do the show at 11:30, you will be on the same time as the West Coast, which means the show will stream for them 1 hour later, as well as all other time zones.
Yeah, it's gonna mess up the Californians.
Yeah.
People in Oregon are going to be upset.
This is a really good point from Cramnella. You do realize that daylight savings time is on Sunday, March 10th, so you need to figure it out today and let your listeners know when your listeners on the East Coast can tune in. Unfortunately, we have not figured it out.
We will. I mean, there's so much time left in today.
There's so much time. Really, though, like follow Kim on social media, and if there is a change to the time... We will post it there. Also, if you get the current newsletter, we will post it there.
Oh, that's a good idea. Push it off to the newsletter.
Yeah.
Let those folks handle it.
Hey, that's me.
Yeah,
it's her. Mary Jones. Mary from App fame.
The same Mary.
Mary, I hope you heard those answers, and I hope your children are not on Wiz, and if they are, please get off. Thank you both for allowing Kim to take some time off. Everyone needs some time off.
Yeah.
She does.
We're glad she's on. Taking a little time for her.
She's taking a week now, and then she's going to take all July, August, September, and October.
That's not true. I like this. Our friend 7H3T3, the new and improved Chevy glitch. Yeah, they should have called it that.
They should have.
Those are not issues. They are special features.
That's I love good. That, the Chevy glitch.
That's very good. Tim Lowen is concerned because I'm sitting in Kim's chair. Here's the thing. Yes, we have another chair, which is where I usually sit when it's the three of us. If I sat there, me and Andrew were trying to like look at each other. This is the straight shot.
Yeah.
So if it's two people, this is the logical place to sit. Kim, thank you for letting me borrow your chair. It's lovely.
And we're getting a whole new set. They're working behind the scenes. Am I not supposed to say this?
Spoiler. I don't know. Get excited. We're getting a new set. No, seriously. Yeah. There are boxes everywhere.
They're working behind the scenes. Get new lighting.
We're going to have like floating chairs.
These chairs, let me tell you about these chairs. They're amazing.
They're amazing. We're going to look awesome.
We are. And we're going to be so comfortable that we'll probably fall asleep during the podcast.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to be real slumpy or?
No, they're bringing in like some engineer to unslump them. I'm not kidding.
Unslump. We can't afford this. Please share this podcast and video feed with anyone you know.
We got to retrofit our slumpy chairs to be unslumped.
You don't want to see us slumped,
no,
trust me.
I'm not even looking good upright.
I did not plant this comment. Ken said, it's nice to see the podcast continue while Kim is on vacation. Allie, you do a great job, all caps.
You do.
Oh my gosh.
He must have misspelled my name, though.
Andrew, you do a great job. A-team, you do a great job.
All right, what are we finishing on the week?
I am not on TikTok, as we both know. There is something that is, may I say, going viral. Okra water.
Yeah, I love okra.
Okay.
It's literally my favorite vegetable. I went to grade school in Texas, and every single meal, no matter what the main course was, it was grits, okra, Texas toast. So you could have a burrito, and then it would be grits, okra, Texas toast. And I would trade my Texas toast every single day for the kids' okra because I love okra so much.
And okra is a tough one for some kids and some adults because...
Oh, yeah, it was an easy trade.
It's a little slimy. Yeah, you could probably get everyone's okra. Right. Here, want bread.
Exactly.
Yeah, I also love okra. Apparently, according to the internet, okra water is good for your skin. It will help your skin be smoother and slow down aging. Vitamins A, C, K, B, anti-inflammatory properties... Positive effects on blood pressure.
Ooh.
It has a diuretic effect, removing salt and water from the body. Apparently, it is good for women's health.
Now, are we drinking the raw slime that comes out of the okra plant?
That's exactly what's happening. So instead of eating okra,
which is delicious,
lots of fiber, which is good for you, people are chopping up okra, putting it in water, soaking it, and this is what it looks like.
Trying viral okra water weight for IT.
That's
who's drinking it?
Yeah.
Look at that viscosity.
That's slime. Is she going to drink it? Are we going to get to see her drink it?
No, it's too long of a video. There's she no does drink it, though.
That.
She
that is
spoiler, does not like it.
She could change her oil with that.
Look at how thick.
Oh, how do you can't even drink that?
Oh, people, you slug it down, man. People drink it.
That's like the consistency of an egg, if you're just listening. The white of an egg.
Yeah, that's true. For people who are just listening, it's quite thick.
It's
motor
thick.
Oil, but clear.
Right.
Yeah.
With chunks in it, with okra chunks in it.
Yes. Turns out okra water might not be suitable for everyone. If you have a history of kidney stones, do not.
Okay.
Because there are high oxalates, which can contribute to
I
more
knew
kidney
that.
Stones.
I was going to say that.
Oh, sure. The oxalates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, okra contains high levels of fructans, which is a carbohydrate that could give you a bellyache. So you don't want to drink all your okra juice and then have
cook
a real
okra.
Mess.
Cook your
just
okra.
Just eat okra.
Well, yeah, but raw is not the greatest.
Well, no, I'm saying eat the whole okra.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and make jugs of okra gunk. Just eat okra like it's supposed to be. And don't follow every TikTok trend.
No, please don't do it.
Because most of them are crazy. And maybe we do need to ban TikTok.
This program is a copyrighted production of Westar Multimedia Entertainment and protected by the copyright laws. Any rebroadcast or use of this program for commercial, business, economic, or financial purposes without the written permission of Westar Multimedia Entertainment is strictly prohibited.